Okay, we are plugged in for Tuesday, the 14th of March, 2023. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. I'm plugging in here from Sydney, Australia, and the one and only David Parker is back with me tonight to really continue our discussions. We had a great last show, David. It really was, and we're kind of talking about breaking down the nature of reality, and this is huge, and we can't do it all in just single podcasts. So it's just this continuing theme, and it's really interesting to have these kinds of discussions. So we just do bit by bit, and we keep the conversations rolling. And folks out there missed that one. It's of course up on the Kraz Files website, and it's out on the RSS feed, and I'm pretty sure it is on our BitChute channel and on David's end as well with Dawn, as they put it up. But it's out there if you missed that. Anyway, the listeners missed that one. But, you know, the website has everything contained there, which is good, so people can go back. It's a good reference site anyway. When my YouTube channel was deleted, and I believe this is because of the conversation I had with John Hamer about the so-called SARS-CoV-2 virus not being isolated and not existing, and questioning that. The next morning, the whole channel was gone. I did move everything to BitChute. I just thought that was the easiest one to do. And so I've been building there. So you can find the podcast over there as well. It's usually a day or a couple of days after it goes out in the RSS feed and on the website. You'll find them at BitChute if you like to get them there, if people like to get them there. But there's a whole bunch up there that folks can find. Great folks like David and Dawn and Amanda Vollmer and many, many people, and Tracy Northern. And so there's a ton of information up there to share and get out to people as we move forward, David. So it is really incredible times, and it's great to be having these discussions. We always have a lot to discuss, that's for sure, don't we, mate? Plenty to go through. I would just say to people, everything's up on krazfiles.com. So there's always a lot going up there for sure, and plenty of podcasts and info to look at on that website. I do run it myself here in Sydney, Australia, alone. So I do have a small members community that help. So, you know, the best way to support is through membership, as you can do with David and Dawn. They have that as well. And I think it's a good little step. I like that. I don't want ads and pop-ups and things on the website. I want to keep it clean and independent. So membership is a good way to support me here on the ground and help us to continue doing all this, because it's not easy sometimes, and there's a lot in it, and it can be a bit of a drain, and expenses for me are in US dollars, so you know, it takes a toll sometimes. So members really help. So you can go over to krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, and have a look at one of the banners there, and all the information's up there indeed. And I did fix up the Buy Me a Coffee as well, if people prefer that. So you can check that out on the website. It's pretty cool because you don't have to sign up to anything, and people can just shout us a coffee. It's a nice way to move forward here. But it is good to be here, David, with you in 2023. My goodness. And we continue on from our last chat, which was really good. And I think it had a good reception out there in the world, and people looking for something different, to just kind of tone things down a bit and have a look at the nature of reality around us. And I do, just for folks out there who might become a member of the Kraz Files, I do extra content and podcasts and stuff. And one podcast I do is the Night Watch podcast. And that just gives me a chance to sit down here when I'm not on with guests and just cover everything that I want to and things that interest me. And I was on last night, and I was talking about this, David, this kind of nature of reality, and just it is a common theme we continue forward with, the fear that people live under, this control. It really is something that I find incredible, that we want to continue breaking down as well, because I think if people are living in any kind of fear state, they'll never be able to move forward in a positive way or truly be themselves, because it's a real insidious thing, and it creates stress and you know, in our lives it creates a real kind of creates difficult situations for folks if you're living in this kind of fear state. And I was just looking at the last few years and what was done. And what was interesting is you know, an article that, like, we're seeing the whole thing, the whole COVID, and, you know, the whole thing is starting to really crumble and fall to pieces. And what kind of set me off is this one, which I was just covering last night. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm just finding it really interesting that this is coming out in such a big way. And the Telegraph in the UK, I don't have the full article. I think it's a members type one or whatever. It's about Mr. Matt Hancock. And the Telegraph are calling for his arrest for willful misconduct in public office. It's an interesting article that the lady has written here. And she basically talks about how this man and these entities used these bucket loads of fear onto the public to scare them into, you know, believing in that there was a virus that was going to get them, and COVID-19 and everything, and to also comply. And that this has not really ever been done before. They mentioned World War II and all of these things. And we know propaganda is a very, you know, strong tool that has been used on humanity. And we know about the TVs and everything. It's just interesting in a big article like this, they're talking about this, you know, huge amounts of fear that was directed at the public mindset to scare them into not only believing in something that's just simply not there, I mean the virus, but, you know, into, you know, getting something injected into their bodies that they didn't want, or, you know, were upset about getting, locking people down, all of this stuff. And now this is all coming out. And so it is an interesting part of our discussions, I think, how they were able to, you know, level so much fear at the public and bog them down in such a way to get them to comply and be so scared of, really, there's absolutely nothing there. There is never any virus. There are no variants. There's nothing from bats. There's nothing from laboratories. There were no lab leaks. There's nothing in the environment or in the air. You're not going to catch or spread anything, but people were so terrified and so scared. They're still out there today. I can see them in the mask still when there's absolutely no need for it anymore. It's all broken. Even the government are like, there's no need to do it. It's all over. They're still kind of feeding it to the public, but it is a, because I'm seeing it still in fragments, and I'm still seeing people so scared of this, it really is something that I want to continue breaking down, taking a look at this psychological, you know, type hammer blow that people copped during COVID more than I think any other time in history. We have events like 9/11 and many things, but COVID was really a heavy-handed, really extreme, you know, campaign of terror and fear against the public to really petrify people that they were going to die and catch something, and you had to get this and you had to do that and everything. And people were just basically puppets on the end of a string for these people like Hancock and for the media and everything like that. And it's interesting to see these big papers now coming out trying to, you know, and people like Hancock, he wants to claim that he didn't do anything wrong, and now he's running for cover. But I always said that there's going to come a day when people are going to get angry and they're going to be upset and they're going to want answers, and they're not getting it from the courts, and they're going to understand that people like him caused a hell of a lot of suffering and problems. But it all comes down to scaring the public, David, in a way that I don't think we've ever seen before in human history. And I found that interesting anyway about the article, because they did mention that fear was really used more than anything else here to get people into this whole COVID thing. And it's so deep and so deeply embedded that even now people are struggling to find their way out of this in so many ways, and it's causing a host of problems. Even though we are seeing the whole thing fall to bits, and there's people are seeing that all of this was just absolute nonsense, and there's no scientific scientific evidence to back up any of it whatsoever, let alone the virus. But all the mask wearing and the lockdowns and everything, the whole thing is now broken to pieces. And I think the general public are on board now, and they're seeing what you and I and our listeners saw a very long time ago. We just got to wait for them to catch up. And I look at it and I just think, wow, you know, the whole thing that we have witnessed in the last few years was all orchestrated through fear, through simple fear, just scaring people. I think this is an important thing to break down as we move forward in our podcast anyway, to tie it up with the nature of reality, as I know you do so well, bringing the fear element in so we could get this out to the public and make them understand and take back a bit of control of their lives.
Yeah.
And welcome, buddy. Welcome back on.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Yeah, it's great to be back. And I think from what you've said before, the nature, delving into the nature of reality is something you're particularly interested in, and it certainly is for me as well. So it's great to be able to talk about it and explain some of the basics, so that because you were talking about fear, and fear is a weapon that has been used very effectively by all of the governments of the world. But fear is bred from ignorance, you know, and I mean that in the nicest sense. When people just don't know the facts about anything, then it's easy to make them scared. And once they're scared, it's easy to control them. And from the British government's point of view, and you mentioned Matt Hancock, I mean, at the time he was the health minister, and you know, it came out a long time ago that he'd deceived Parliament when the government's own scientists, right back at the in 2020, had already, even though, as you mentioned, there was no virus to start with, but even under their auspices, they downgraded the seriousness of the supposed virus to just, an ordinary level, sort of nothing more to worry about than flu or that sort of thing. Now, Matt Hancock knew that, and he never informed Parliament that the UK scientists, official government scientists, had already downgraded it. Now, the story is that he didn't tell Parliament this, and so they went ahead with all the lockdown measures and mask wearing and all of the other paraphernalia. Now, eventually, of course, that started to surface, and then anyone in the know realizes that he was really thrown under the bus, as it were, made a scapegoat. You know, they put up some sort of sex scandal of him having an affair with his secretary, and then he left the government. Mm. And now, of course, as you've seen, there's an article in a major national paper in the UK of they're sort of after his blood, as it were. But they'll just use him as a scapegoat. I mean, the whole government knew about these things, so they're all complicit in it, and they're still complicit in it. They're still telling people that the jab is safe and effective, when their own figures show that thousands of people in the UK alone have died as a direct result of the jab. And this is reported by doctors, and it's not just a sort of alternative media people. This is by their own doctors in the thousands, reporting the amount of deaths and serious injuries from the jabs. And yet the government is still saying it's safe and effective. So they were complicit back in 2020 in this fraud, and they're complicit now, and have been for it's over 3 years now. So, you know, it's not just Matt Hancock who needs to be in prison, it's the whole government. And I would hope that there will be court cases, but of course it's very difficult anywhere in the world to get these into court, because the whole so-called legal system is corrupt as well. We know quite a number of people who've tried to bring cases to court, and they get blocked before they even get them into court, because the judge can just, as he has done, just decide that, and his usual phrase is, he thinks the case doesn't have merit. Okay, so it never gets into court, so no one can actually examine in a proper court system the full facts of and lack of scientific evidence. No one can bring that to the public's attention. And of course, they know that. And so that's why they block any of these cases getting into court, anywhere in the world, really. So, but it will happen sooner or later. It will happen because, as you've said earlier, more and more people are aware that the whole thing was a fraud, but a very dangerous one. So there's many, many thousands of people have died because of this fraud, not from any disease, but they've died from the poisonous jabs, and they've died from other medication that they've been given, whether it's been put on ventilators and things like that. So basically killed by the medical system and their ignorance. And so all of these things are going to have to come to light. And of course, the big book, What Really Makes You Ill, is designed to give people the evidence so that they can take back their power as regards their health. And then no government anywhere in the world will be able to scare them into doing these ridiculous things, very dangerous things. But what we also are aiming to do is, and that's why more and more people are asking us about, because they know we've written a book about the nature of reality, they're asking us about that, because as well as taking back control of their own health, they want to know what they are. What is the meaning of life? What are they as human beings? Is there a purpose? Well, of course, there is. And sort of many questions stem from that, some of which we covered last time we were talking. But of course, it's, as you rightly say, Adam, it's a big subject. And some of it's difficult to get your head round. Although we've written a little book, which we've wrote actually many years ago, probably about 15 years ago, called The Nature of Reality. And if people go to our website, thenatureofreality.com, they can find out more about that and see where to get the book. You can't buy it off our website, but you can get it from any good online bookstores. You can get it from Amazon, of course. So people can find out more. And it's not a heavy tome. It explains quite a complex subject, but it explains it in an easy way for people to read and make sense of and use it practically. You know, that's the main thing, to use it practically to improve their lives. So I guess that perhaps in today's chat we might want to go into some of the details a little more.
We were going to talk, Dave, a little bit about, you know, we going on from our last conversation, who are we and what is death, what does it mean, and where do we go, the afterlife, this kind of thing. This was sort of moving on from our discussions, but yeah, looking at death itself, and it is something that I bring up a lot that I don't hear a lot of people bringing up, but I feel like people's fear of death and getting old, and we see this in society, and I'm seeing it more now than ever before, where people are trying to reverse this age, and they're getting, you know, we know we're getting a lot of surgery and plastic surgery, and it's all how I look and all about being young and all of this stuff. So there's a fear in society in general of becoming old and dying, because people think they have, well, people, a lot of people have an atheist sort of outlook that this is it, me now, this is all there is, and when I die, it's just black, there's nothing there. And I think that fear, even if it is, you know, in there in only little doses, it's in there somewhere, you know, that fear that I'm going to die one day. I think that the system itself is using that a lot with the COVID stuff. That's why I bring it up. I think that is that is a real insidious way to get to people, because if you look at what they've done, what did they do, you know, to cause all this? I mean, what was done? It could have been anything, but they've used the story about a virus that, you know, you can catch and spread something and you could die, your family could get sick, your kids and all of this. And it's forced people to act in ways that they would never, ever act, and do things that they would never normally do based on an absolute lie, you know, and all of this, and what doctors say and what the TV says and all of this. But I feel that, you know, it's... And I feel like they're, you know, people's fear of death possibly could, it's not the whole part, but it could be a part of this. And it's being engineered in such a way to scare people into doing things that they normally wouldn't do, as I said. And so this whole fear that a lot of people have that one day they're going to die, this is an interesting piece to bring up at some point in our discussions, indeed, and why we're so scared of that. And I know a lot of it comes from big movies and Hollywood movies. You'll see they demonize the, you know, the death experience, and they scare people and all of this stuff, you know. And it's this horror theme and scaring people and, you know, scary movies and stuff. It's been a common theme right throughout history since cinema was born. There's been the Dracula characters and the scaring people, you know. And you know, a lot of kids today have night terrors. I had them. They have nightmares and things like that. And they're unrestful and things like this, you know. And also, you know, a lot of people carry a lot of fear and anger, regret, things at the point of death, you know, and that they could never unload or get off. And that carries over as well. I mean, there's a lot to discuss. But my little bit is that people have been, I think that, I don't know if you agree, but it wasn't brought up during the COVID psychological operation that, they're scaring people into thinking that you could get something and die. And so in that way, as you said, when you're not informed and you're not self-aware and conscious of everything that's going on around you and you don't know what's going on, and the TV's telling you, you've got to go down, Mr. Smith, and get your jabs in your arm tomorrow, because you could get sick when you walk out that door, and you don't want that because you could absolutely die. You know, that's what they were telling people. They had all these cryptic ads and scaring people and scare campaigns, and there was nothing there. And so people flipped out and got so petrified. But you and I didn't, and our listeners didn't. And I'm not scared of death. I think it's just, I see it as the beginning. But a lot of people, what is happening here, David? Walk us through this fear campaign and scaring people of what happens when they die. What is going on here with this little part of the big puzzle?
Well, I mean, let's talk about it's a sort of that taboo subject, isn't it, death? Because everyone knows that sooner or later they die. You know, everything dies. But so people try to avoid thinking about it because it's a scary thing on its own for most people. But again, this is born out of ignorance. It's born out of not knowing, because even if they turn to religions, you know, they'll tell them, again, scare stories built in to most religions, that basically, you know, unless you've lived the right sort of life, dictated usually by the particular religion, then you could go to somewhere very unpleasant, you know, hell or some other name that may be put on it when you die. So not content with scaring you while you're alive, they're scaring you that you could go somewhere for eternity. And, like the Christian religion would tell you can burn in hell for eternity. So not very pleasant at all. So you can see why people are scared. But let's just think about what is death really. And that ties in, of course, to what the nature of reality is and what the nature of each individual is, what people are, what life is. And as we try to explain in our book, The Nature of Reality, once you know what we are, you know, our bodies are not us. They are a manifestation. You know, our true nature is timeless. It's immortal. And that's why even in the Christian religion, in the Bible, it tells us that God created man in his own image. And what that's trying to tell us in a cryptic way is not that God looks like us, you know, with arms and legs and human beings walking about. He's talking about what our true nature is, because our true nature is God. We prefer not to use the word God because many religions, all religions, have various ideas about what God is. And so it's a very loaded term. So we tend to talk about the creating force, the all that is, the source of all being, terms like that. Because if we try to, from an ego point of view, if we try to think about what that sort of a being entity could be, we're already confusing ourselves, because our ego consciousness doesn't have the vocabulary or the ability to conceive of something that is immortal, timeless, without form, we just can't do it. Our mental faculties are just not equipped to do that, and for good reason. So if I just sort of give a few descriptions to try and give people a bit of an idea. And we, Dawn and I, tend to use the word the self with a capital S for this source of all being. Okay, so the self, it's not a concept that can be understood by intellect. So it doesn't matter how people wrestle with that concept from an intellect point of view, they'll never be able to understand it, because the self, the creator of all things, perceives, but it can't be perceived, because otherwise it'd be like trying to pour a pint of water into a half pint pot. You can't do it, no matter how hard you try. So we cannot conceive of something that exists but is inconceivable, if that makes sense. And the self is a point of knowing all, but to experience all requires the creation of space and time. So from the self's point of view, to although it can know everything, does know everything, but to experience everything, it has to and has manifested different realities, one of which we've manifested, which we're in now, which we call everyday life. And I may have said this in our last conversation, it would be like trying to understand the concept like poverty, but you may understand the concept, you may look at it, you may see people that are poor and have nothing, but you'd never understand what it was like unless you could experience it. So even if you tried to, as I once said, put some old clothes on and go and live in a cardboard box under a bridge and think that you can experience poverty, again, you still wouldn't be experiencing poverty, because you would still know that you can pack it in anytime you like, go back to your nice warm house and your well-paid job and your car and your family. So you'd never really understand what poverty is for someone who has none of those things to go back to. Well, life is the same. And this is why we have to forget temporarily what we are, that we are the timeless, immortal being. We are the source of everything. We have to forget that. Otherwise, our day-to-day experiences don't have any impact. They don't mean anything, because we know, well, this is not really us. This is not really, it's just almost a make-believe. So we have to forget those things. And we use consciousness like a tool to create reality. And I did explain this once as like a potter who uses clay to make his various things, plates, cups, jugs, vases. Well, we use consciousness in that way, but we are not consciousness. What our essence is, and the essence of us and the self, God, if you like, is beyond that. And like the potter is beyond the clay. The clay is his tool. Well, consciousness is our tool of which we create this reality. We create our experiences in the same way as we use consciousness when we're in the dream state to create our reality. You know, we create all sorts of forms within our dream, which is a state of consciousness. You know, we can have houses and cars and people and animals, trees. We can have all those things that we create in our dream, and we create them out of consciousness. Okay. And this reality is the same. While we're enmeshed in it, in the like in a dream, we don't know we're dreaming. While we're enmeshed in our everyday reality, we don't know that it's just a state of consciousness until we, if you like, awaken from it. And this is the point where people refer to as death, so which is a scary word, but it's really just an awakening, a change of state of consciousness from what we think of as the waking state, everyday consciousness, to more akin to our true nature. In the same way as while we're enmeshed in a dream, it's very real, it can be very scary, until we wake up and change our state of consciousness back to what we think of as our day-to-day waking state of consciousness. Well, we can wake up from this state of consciousness to the day-to-day consciousness. And yes, when we see other people seeming to go through the state that we call death, but that's not the end of them, and it's not the end of us. People change our just change states of consciousness. So once we realize that we are immortal, timeless, we don't die, we don't become nothing, then that starts to take the fear away. And we don't need to fear, in the same way as when we go to sleep at night, we don't fear that we're not going to wake up. We don't fear that we go to sleep and dream. You know, well, it's the same in the waking state of consciousness. We shouldn't fear that we're not going to wake up from it, because we do wake up from it, and by changing our state of consciousness. So we ought to sort of get a different word, because, as I say, death is a loaded term, and people are just scared of it because they think it's the end of them. Well, it's not the end of them. There is no end to us, ever, because we are energy, and even science knows you can't destroy energy. It just changes form. Well, that's what we do. We change form. We dispense with what we think of as our bodies, which we've created and which we use, but they are not us. They're only, in the same way we can have a body in a dream, and then we come out of the dream and dispense with anything that we created in the dream. Well, it's the same in this reality. When we awake from it, if we can use that term, and change our state of consciousness, we dispense with the need for the reality that we've been creating for ourselves all our lives, you know, and all the experiences. So that, because we've forgotten, we have to forget who we are when we manifest into this state of consciousness. So that each of the experiences that we have and create for ourselves have meaning, and we make value judgments and choose different forms and choose different paths that we want to take. So some people make the mistake that they think, oh, does that mean that we have no free will? Well, we do. While we're in this state of consciousness, we have free will, because although in our godlike state of consciousness, we can see all events, both past, present, and future, and bearing in mind that time is a construction as well. Time and space are constructions. But whilst we're enmeshed in our waking state of consciousness, we're making real choices based on what sort of a person we are. Now, some people feel that, and we see them, the Matt Hancocks of this world and various other people who basically are criminals, and they feel that by just living a life of acquisition for themselves and doing things which are just of benefit to themselves, they think that that is good for them. But reality, and this is where people understand this concept of karma, which is a balancing. It's the yin and yang. It's everything has to come to a balance. And so if you sort of put out in your life, as I say, criminal activity, just selfishness, self-acquisition, then you will sooner or later have to learn that that's not the way, because there is only one law, and that is do no harm, to not to intentionally cause harm. That's the actual only law that there is within this reality. And so if you abuse that law and cause harm deliberately to others, like governments have been doing, and the Matt Hancocks of this world and the various other people, Bill Gates and many others, you know, there will be retribution. And that is not that the public has to go and go after them with pitchforks and axes. You know, they will, the divine justice, if you like, the equaling out will take care of all of that. And like is happening with Matt Hancock, he was getting away from it, right, getting away with it right from the beginning. But now it's all catching up with him. And he's been publicly ridiculed. He's probably going to find himself in court, and justice will seek him out, as it is doing. And the same will happen to all of these other perpetrators, whether it's, no matter how rich they are, whether it's the multi-billionaires like Bill Gates and others, you know, divine justice will seek them out, and sooner or later they will pay the consequences. And this is the same for all of us. So we should live our lives as best we can, knowing that we are these immortal beings, and that we each create our own personal realities. And there's quite a mystery in that phrase, that we each create our own personal realities. So what is happening in our personal life directly that's affecting us, that's the only thing we need to deal with, because we're showing ourselves things and telling ourselves things. Our day-to-day experiences are a feedback system. So if we listen to that and look at what we're doing, and I'm not talking about looking at things on the television or the news or reading the papers, you know, of things happening in faraway places seemingly. No, what is happening in your very personal day-to-day life? And that's the stuff you deal with, and that's the stuff you make decisions about, and where you can make corrections. If things seem to be going off track, then you can make corrections, and then things will smooth out, because we each create our own personal experiences. In the same way, in the dream state of consciousness, when you can become awake, as it were, in a dream state of consciousness, some people call it lucid dreaming, and then you can control and create consciously, even though you're in the dream state of consciousness. Well, what I'm suggesting is you can do the same in the waking state of consciousness. Once you know what you are, this timeless, immortal being, and that you create your own personal experiences, albeit for the most part, people do it unconsciously, and therefore have the impression that they're just victims of circumstances. You know, this person's doing stuff to them, or that person, or this government, or the police, or whatever it is. Well, only if you keep yourself in that fear state, as you mentioned, Adam, and only if you keep yourself in that victim state where you are a helpless victim, and all of these people, the authorities, are more powerful than you are and can do stuff to you. Okay. But once you know that you are the power, you know, then you can start to change it, and those conflicts will no longer happen, because you're determined that they won't happen, and that your life will be on a track where it's smooth and joyful and pleasant and creative, and a state of doing no harm. And that's not to say life is boring. It's not, of course. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we have a beautiful world, and we should enjoy it. Enjoy life, enjoy the world, enjoy the people that we come into contact with in life, in a creative way. Again, if we believe that the majority of people are, you know, out to get us, or then those will be our experiences, until we decide, no, I don't have to have this. I don't have to have people out to get me or whatever. In the same way, as you said earlier, you know, there's no viruses out there that are out to get me, or bacteria out to get me, or diseases of any sort out to get me. Well, once you know that, and then, of course, because there are none, well, there's no people out there to get you either, unless you believe there is. So you immediately take away all the fear once you know what you are and who's in control. And that's the one thing that everyone should remind themselves of every now and again, is remind themselves, who is it in control of my life? And once they realize it's themselves, and really realize it, then things can start to change, and you can create the life you want. And so, again, remembering who and what we are, that we are these timeless, immortal beings, which is our true nature, then we also remove the fear of death, as well as viruses and all the rest of it, because it's nothing to be afraid of, because we never cease to be. In the same way, as I said, going to sleep and waking up, you know, we never cease to be. We just change our state of consciousness. So I'm hoping that that's explained a little bit about this change of consciousness that we call death. It is not what people think it is. It is just that, a change of consciousness. Okay. Does that help, mm-hmm. Adam, do you think?
Yeah. It's absolutely. And it's very interesting to break this down. And if we were to take a look at dreams, for example, it's a powerful thing, isn't it? Growing up as a kid, I had night terrors, and I had no idea why. I don't know what was going on or why this was happening. It is very interesting to look at dreams, because I think really there's no proper explanation for what they are or how they are, how they occur, you know, from most people, you know, and how they play a role in our lives and everything. But as I get older, I strongly see that dreams are just as real, if not more real, than what we are doing right here, right now. And it is interesting to study, which I've done a lot, and we've had a lot of podcasts on NDEs, near-death experiences, because I think there's so much of this, you can't discount it, and it's really incredible to read through. I do these on my in my reading and observation podcasts. And I'll be doing a lot more of these, but it's so interesting to look at these experiences that people's experiences that people are having with the NDEs and everything. But they all seem to be centering and coming back to the same theme. And one of these themes that I pick out of a lot of these is this clarity and beauty that people experience in these near-death experiences. And it is interesting to note that, and I've felt this a lot, and with my own dreams, how clear they can be. This is a really interesting part of this. You know, sometimes you have these dreams that where everything's more clearer. You know, even like the water and things around you, everything that you see can be very, very, very clear. And in such a way that's different from what we see now, perhaps. You do see this in dreams, and you hear the same connection with people who are having actual near-death experiences. How could we talk about this and bring this up a little bit, David, about dreams, NDEs, sure. This so-called reality that we're in now, which we discussed, could possibly will be just a projection of consciousness, our true selves. You know, we're having this experience, which is just kind of like a projection, you know. And if we start to sort of look at all this, and we, when you start to think about things like this and what we're talking about tonight, you take the bad things a little bit less seriously, you know. You don't allow yourself to get bogged down and everything, because you kind of think we seem to be living in some kind of game show or something, you know. And I sort of look at things, and then I think, you know what, you know, I'm just gonna discard this and that, and I'm gonna think about this and break it down. I think this is a really important thing that and this is another subject, I know, but it's, I do think that we as humans, we have this kind of filter where we can be exposed to all this stuff that's happening, and we can watch the news and the TV and all this stuff, and if we allow it to go through that filter, we can break that down and take a real look at this. And I think that in our modern society, too many people have lost this kind of, you know, I like to look at it as sort of your gut intuition, this sort of will to survive, you know, this part of you that this higher dimensional self or guide, guardian angel, or many names for it, this voice that tells you, you know, this is right, this is wrong, all this kind of stuff, that if you can hone in on it and reconnect a little bit more, you start to hear it a lot more. I think a lot of people are so bombarded with technology and news and everything and things, and everything's moving so fast and so quick, and we live in cities and everything's so speedy now. We just consume massive amounts of propaganda and news and everything without that filter being there, and it's just all going in and being fed in.
Well,
and we're not able to you know, as humans, clinically and critically break it down, which is what we should be doing. You know, we should be looking at everything and sort of saying, okay, you know, I'll take that, but I'm going to break it down and, you know, pull it all to pieces, and then I'm going to make up my mind on this. We're just consuming it too quickly, yeah. It seems now, well, like that.
It's distraction, isn't it? I mean, we more and more with the technology and again, distraction. It's a deliberate thing. It's distracting. You know, so we've got lots of electronic toys, haven't we? Or, well,
gadgets.
If we're allowed ourselves to be sucked in with television, radio, papers, magazines, video games, you know, it's all, even social media, it's all distraction, which keeps people from having those quiet moments of self-introspection, contemplation, meditation, you know, where you allow yourself those quiet moments to quieten the mind, to connect with your expanded self, your, you know, your expanded consciousness, to because you can only do it when you quieten down the sort of intellect, the sort of ego consciousness, which is very useful. Ego consciousness is very useful for creating and working with our everyday waking state of consciousness, but it can be very noisy, and it overwhelms, that, as you say, that little quiet voice that's trying to tell us stuff, you know, when we're trying to connect with our greater awareness. And the noisy chattering of the ego can dampen that out. It's like a lot of interference. So that's why it's important to have quiet moments, and why in Eastern philosophies and religions they recommend meditation, or contemplation at least, to have those quiet moments and just quieten the mind and see what comes in. But of course, the modern world is designed to produce even more noise and more distractions, and so people don't get to do that, and they allow themselves to be indoctrinated with thinking of themselves as unimportant and just, as you say, born, live, die. There's no real purpose to it, and just to be basically a wage slave. You know, I think it was one of the Rockefellers early on said, you know, they don't want thinkers, they just want workers. So they do everything to make sure that people don't get a chance to actually think in those quiet moments. So it's very important for us to start to do that again, because as I keep saying, we, our true essence, we are conscious beings, and we recognize some states of consciousness like dreams. Now, bearing in mind that time and space are just constructions of consciousness, so that when we're in, when we alter our state of consciousness from the everyday waking state, even into a dream state, time and space, we can manipulate it differently. It doesn't have the same constrictions that we have in our waking state of consciousness. And that's why sometimes dreams don't make much sense when we try to remember them when we're awake, because it's a bit like two different computer programs trying to talk to one another. And if they're incompatible, you just get gobbledygook. Well, when we change from one state of consciousness into another, we can get a bit of that, and particularly just from waking state to dream state. But if we expand it even more through real deep states of meditation, or even, and I'm recommending this, when some people use psychotropic drugs to change their state of consciousness and have all sorts of very strange experiences, because it's freed the ego, constrictions of the ego state of consciousness, it's freed it. And so you can start to experience things in a very different way, and quite often can't really make sense of them. It can be a bit of a roller coaster journey, but you can't make much sense of it unless you've been trained to know what to do and how to control it. And it can also be the same with so-called near-death experiences, when the ego state of consciousness, its ties have been loosened because it's a near-death experience, and glimpses of a different reality can be seen. and where time and space, the shackles of time and space are loosened, and so you start to see things differently. But all of these things, whether it's dreams, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, they're all altered states of consciousness where you're starting to be freed from the restrictions of ego consciousness, which is very defined, very restrictive, but for a reason. It's so that we can experience this reality in the way we experience it. But when we dream, or when we have near-death experiences, or when we die, we free ourselves from ego consciousness and therefore then can see reality and realities in a very different way. Okay. And the same with things like deja vu, that experience of deja vu, or as it in English it's already seen, it just means already seen. And anyone who's had a deja vu experience, it's very weird. It can just last sometimes a second or two. You could be doing something, just talking to someone, and suddenly you have this strange and very powerful impression that you've done it before, exactly done it before, the same conversation in the same place with the same person, or similar things like that. It's quite a strange experience for anyone who's had it. But what's happening there is because all of our experiences, although ego consciousness only remembers events sort of as if it's one after the other, you know, but it's not really like that. Every event in our life, there are multiple versions of it. And even quantum physics recognize this. They call it the multiverse. And sometimes we, in those moments that we call deja vu, already seen, we get a glimpse of one of those parallel experiences, which is just slightly different to the one we're actually having at the time. And so we get this impression of we've already seen this, we've already done this, which of course you have, because you, at one level of consciousness, you are aware of all the multiple variations of every single event, no matter how trivial, that happens in your life. There are multiple variations of it. And sometimes in those moments of deja vu, you get a glimpse of it. You recognize one of those things, and it sort of leaks through into your ordinary level of consciousness, your ordinary ego state of consciousness. And it gives that quite pleasant and very strange phenomena called deja vu. And something similar happens with the reincarnation, because again, the standard system tells us that we live one life after another, so in sequence. Well, of course, when we realize that time and space are just constructions, then we think, well, how does reincarnation work, which is this sequence of one life after another? Well, of course, that's not quite true. We do have and live multiple lives, but they're all simultaneous because there is no real time. So we live and are living multiple lives at any particular moment that we can think about, but we don't see that from our restricted ego sense of things. But sometimes information leaks through, and sometimes people feel that they're someone else, or because they're thinking in time, that they've been someone else, and can bring through very exacting information of times, places, you know, and give details which can be, providing it's in sort of relatively accessible historical time, they can give very accurate information about a person who they could not possibly have known, and yet they feel connected. Well, of course, they are. It's just that that information is leaking through because it is a parallel life of theirs, and we all have them. And sometimes that information comes through to us, and we have feel affinities. Could be, and it's not always if we're male or female. You know, some of our parallel lives could be the opposite gender. In fact, they will be. You know, we don't have every life that we've got is always the same gender or in the same time period. It's many and varied for obvious reasons. So some of this I often sort of a little bit tongue-in-cheek, where someone might feel that that they're Napoleon or somebody like that. Well, in a particular life, which is running parallel to theirs, they may well be Napoleon, because the time is simultaneous. Everything is simultaneous. And I think I explained in our last talk, in our godlike position, where we can see that all events are simultaneous. Well, and it's only from our limited ego perception that we can't see that. We only see, I think I explained it as a massive chessboard, with each little square being an event, and that those squares, if you imagine them extending into infinity in all directions, that shows all the various events that there could be. Well, when we're only focused through ego consciousness, we can only see one little square at a time. And we move from one little square at a time, hence we create time. But as we step back into our godlike position, we can then see all the squares simultaneously. So we can see past, present, and future simultaneously.
Is that being engineered, David, the small perception of time? And, you know, this tiny little perception that we have of everything around us is obviously being engineered. Why are we like this? What is happening with people there? Well, we're just seeing so little, and we think that that's all there is. And we're being so ego-driven, but it's engineered and steered to be this way?
It is, yes. It's necessary for us to experience experiences in the way we do. Otherwise, we'd have a different reality. We wouldn't. As I say, if we knew our true nature, straight away we certainly wouldn't be afraid of death. But we might choose, if we think some of the experiences we're creating for ourselves are just too difficult, but we know that this is not really us, we might decide to check out and just take the easy route. Just think, well, I don't need to stay here. I don't need to stay in this reality. I'll check out. And of course, that, how tempting as it might be, if circumstances are very difficult, but it's not the way to do it. We have to sort out. We've manifested into this reality for a reason, and we set ourselves experiences for a reason, because we're developing as creative beings. And that's why this particular time is really, really important and very exciting, because with the whole COVID thing, it's woken much more people up. Mm. And so they're starting to ask many more questions, and because they're dissatisfied, and because they're starting to realize that their governments have lied to them, that the legal system has lied to them, the banking system has lied to them, the media has lied to them. And so they're very dissatisfied, and quite rightly so. And so they're looking for answers. And so they're seizing the opportunity to realize, as we have through our book about health, what really makes you ill, to realize they don't need to listen to the medical system, because they've not been telling them the truth about health. The pharmaceutical companies have been lying to them just to make lots of money. And actually, their methods have killed hundreds of thousands of people and continue to do so. So people are waking up and wanting to know more. They're wanting to know the truth. So it's very exciting. And they're also, and that's why more and more people are wanting to know about the nature of reality. They want to know the truth about what they are, because they've been told all their lives, right from school, with Darwin's theory of evolution, as I mentioned last time, that we just all evolved, life evolved from some pond scum millions and millions of years ago. And things then evolved from the sea, and then they changed from sort of fish-like creatures into mammals, and then mammals diversified into all the different things we've got: lions, tigers, elephants, giraffes, and monkeys, apes, and eventually man. You know, that's what we're told. But when you look into it, there is no scientific evidence for that at all. There is nothing in the fossil record to show how one species has evolved into another, you know, and that's a scientific fact. So there's no evidence for this fact that we've supposedly evolved from pond scum and then evolved from some type of ape-like creature in the dim and distant past. No evidence whatsoever. But we're told that that is it, that's what happened, and that, you know, we're just an insignificant speck in the cosmos and of no particular importance. And all of this is deliberate to make us feel insignificant and worthless in many respects, because that's the way it's much more easy to control people. As I said, even one of the Rockefellers said, you know, it doesn't want thinkers, it just wants workers. Well, it's easy to keep people enslaved if they don't know what their true nature is, that they are God, if you like. They are creators and very powerful, and that there is purpose to life, very particular purpose to life, and that they are each and every one is very important and has a part to play. So, and it's not to be a slave, a wage slave or anything else, while all of these billionaires around the world just live off our backs. You know, that is not how it's meant to be. That is how it has been throughout history. But now a big change is afoot. And that's why this time is very exciting. For the first time, people, and that's the good thing about this whole COVID nonsense, it's made people ask the questions which they've not asked before. And so great swathes of the world population are waking up and resenting how they've been treated. So it's good. It's a big awakening, and it will continue. It's grown over these last 3 years and is continuing to grow. And then you see little hints of it, like you mentioned at the beginning of this chat, Adam, of people, one of these criminals like Matt Hancock, eventually being exposed, and more of them will be, you know, and they'll get their comeuppance. But the big thing, yes, it's nice to see justice carried out, but the big thing is for people to wake up. These people, whether it's the Bill Gates and Matt Hancocks and all the rest of it, they have no power themselves. It's only if people give them power and allow themselves to be told what to do by these people. But if the general public en masse said, well, I don't care what you say, I'm not doing it, it's stupid, you know, I'm just not doing it, these people have no power at all. It's only what we give them and allow them to get away with. And as people have often said, there's a lot more of us than there is of them. So let's stop giving our power away and just don't comply with their ridiculous measures. Okay? And to educate ourselves in the correct way, not in the constrained and way that we taught at school, where we're not taught about the true nature of ourselves, the true nature of reality, the true nature of anything. And that's a deliberate act to keep us controlled and in fear, and this misguided faith in the so-called authorities. You know, that's what we're trained to do from school. Well, it's time to stop all that, and you know, stand on our own feet and be the people and the beings that we truly are. And then, and we can bring an end to all of this tyranny, which has gone on for thousands of years, not just over the last 3 years. It's come to a height within our lifetime. And we have the opportunity now to put a stop to it forever. So let's do it.
That's right. And I have been digging into this a little bit on previous podcasts, and we will continue with it. And it is a strange concept for many people I know, but I've sort of been bringing up this theme that we're doing it to ourselves, you know. And I look at propaganda, for example, and what we've discussed tonight, and all the fear and everything. And if we are absorbing that, you know, we're allowing that into our space, into our subconscious mindset, into who we are, and it's being pumped into us. We are obviously energetic beings, made of energy, and we are absorbing all of that. And if we are indeed, projecting that back out, then this would strongly suggest to me that we're actually creating this negative reality. A lot of us might see, you know, we're creating the world around us through that.
Correct. Yeah.
So we're being fed with fear and propaganda, and that's, we're absorbing it, and then we're projecting it back out, and that's creating the reality for many, many people that they see. And then you have to ask that question, you know. If you look at this, and you look at, as you explained there, the whole COVID thing, are we trying to, at a deeper subconscious or spiritual level, trying to actually wake ourselves up here? You know, because you would look at the system and you would think, why would they want us to? You look at COVID and you think, and you look at what they're still trying to do, and the whole thing. It's dystopian and it's very negative and it's very fearful and everything. And it's people have been through a terrible times in the last few years. It's crazy what happened. And you kind of think, well, why would the system act? Why would this, you know, this New World Order, you know, Big Brother type system want humanity to wake up? And people say, oh, well, they want you to wake up, so we get angry and we lash out and we have riots and everything so they can bring in martial law and all of this. But I think it goes beyond that. I think that I've been saying on many podcasts, I don't even think a punch has to be thrown. I don't think we have to get violent at all in any way. I think it's just a mass critical awakening and just awareness. And I think when that catches on, whatever it is doing this, or if, whether we've created it or not, it just won't be able to exist, because we'll just overcome it. Because that positive state of awareness, that positive, more loving vibrational sort of frequency will take over, I feel. And we'll still be living in the same world, but the world that we're living in will just be changed. You know, it won't be what we're seeing now. It'll be different. It'll be a different state of affairs. And I think that is right within reach for all of us. And I'm starting at this point to ask that question. Are we actually doing this to ourselves? And in saying that, are we actually now trying to wake ourselves up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. And that's what's exciting about this period. Because the things that the seeming authorities do have got increasingly more ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, like it's malfunctioning.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So the system's kind of malfunctioning.
It's not that they are trying to wake us up. We are trying to wake ourselves up, as you said. And we are doing, because, you and I and many others have woken up a long time ago. But the vast majority of the public have not woken up. But more of them have done now, because of the ridiculous, tyrannical practices that have been imposed upon them over this last 3 years. And finally, growing numbers of people have woken up and said, that's it, no more, I'm not having this anymore. But what we don't want, we certainly don't want, for people to start to riot, because you're quite right, that would again be playing into the hands of the authorities, because they've always got much more weaponry than the general populace, and that's why they've gone to great measures in most countries, including yours, I believe, to disarm the public. They're trying to do it in America, of course, where most people have still got guns of one sort or another, and so they fabricate or instigate sort of mass shootings every now and again, and then there's various politicians screaming for the public to be disarmed. I mean, that's the reason they're doing it, because when you've got a well-armed populace, they're much more difficult to control than an unarmed populace. And, but most countries, they've managed to do it. They certainly did it in the UK some years ago. And they've done it in Australia. They've done it in many countries where they've managed to take the guns away from people. So, again, we do not want people to start rioting, because that will give the authorities, as such as they are, the opportunity to come in heavy-handedly with their SWAT squads and all the rest of it. And it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to do that. The changing consciousness of expecting and concentrating on what you want the type of life you want, the type of world you want. That's the thing to do. And then that world, because we create our own reality, that world will come about. And it will come about through natural and non-violent ways. But to be determined to have it, do not support any tyrannical regimes. Just take your power away from them and concentrate on what you do want, not on what you don't want. Because if you put energy into things you don't want, you're just creating what you don't want. You're sustaining it with your own energy, your own creative energy. And of course, the media and the governments want that. And that's why they feed the general public with all of these fear stories, is to get them to be fearful and to believe that that is the world they live in. And so that is the world they live in, because they then inadvertently create it. So realize you don't need to have that world. Stop allowing the naysayers, whether it's governments or the media or whatever, stop letting them cause you as individuals to create that sort of reality, that dystopian reality. Don't let them do it. You know, create the reality that you want. That's really important. And that's what this time is all about, for people to realize their creative power and stop allowing seemingly other people, governments, media, what have you, to really create their reality for them by feeding them information that is negative and uncreative and dark and dismal. So and that's really what this is all about now. That's what this time is about. That's what the whole COVID nonsense is about. And all of the other nonsense that the media keep trying to feed to people. So just ignore it. You know, it's a good thing is don't listen to the news. Don't listen to the mainstream media. You'll get nothing good and creative from it. It's either just to distract you or to feed dark thoughts to you. So just don't have anything to do with it. Concentrate on good things.
And before we wrap up tonight, David, and we'll continue on the next one, looking at human perception. Examples of this, they say, you know, our four types of perception, limitations of our five senses. No, what are the limits to human perception? You know, limitations of the possibility of objective perception. If we look at humans and perception and this limiting filter that has been placed upon us, what are or are there actually any perceptions here in place, the possibilities that we're looking at? Human perception being this little box at this moment where we're watching TV, we're looking at the news, we're reading the newspapers, we're looking at the virus, we've got COVID, with everything, and we're being told, and we've built, we really have built, you could just almost, I kind of look at it as a camera lens, really, because you get this camera, it's a plastic camera, and you put it up to your eye, and then you can kind of like zoom 10 times, 20 times into the distance, you know, which is kind of like perception to me, although it's digital. But we have this little perception where we just wake up in the morning, we have our cornflakes, we have our milk, we watch the morning breakfast TV shows, and they feed us this whole perception of what, you know, this reality that they want us to believe in. You know, it's like a prison for our minds. And then we go to our jobs and we work in our cubicle and we live this limited life where we believe, as you said before, that our DNA is junk, we're from pond scum, we're nothing important. I'm just this entity, you know, stumbling like a zombie through my life to do these chores, and then I'm going to fall into a hole and that's the end of me. You know, and my perception is really just what the TV gives me and what the newspapers give me and all of this. So it's not even limited. It's just so tiny. And when you look at human perception and you go into it and you try to sort of travel down that tunnel, at every level or corner or whatever it is, we're being told that it's limited. It's limited. But do we actually have limitations to human perception, or is it completely, totally, and absolutely unlimited? Or is it up to us how we go from here? Because we are living in a very limited worldview, I think, at the moment. And I think it it sort of stops that growth, you know, that human potential, and it keeps us in this box. It keeps a lot of people scared of reaching outside of the zone, outside of the box, and kind of thinking, you know what, I could do that. I could do this. I could go here. I could do anything that I want. You're constantly pushed back into that box that you're not worth it, that you can't do it. It's like, it does become like, I've suffered from it myself in my life, a confidence thing and everything, you know, and you kind of feel like you're always being pushed back into that little box, and you're not able to be, you know, or to live your life through your true potential, because they're telling us constantly, or we're being told constantly, that human potential is very limited, and it's only what the system allows you to have, and you know, and exercise, and live, and breathe, and see, and feel, and touch, and sense, and taste, and everything. It's only what they give to you. Anything outside this box, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. You know, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. So this human potential is really being cut off in a lot of ways. And I think this is something to explore on the next podcast, how people are too scared to sort of live their dreams or live their life because they feel like they can't do it. Because we're being always constantly told that our potential, our human potential, is limited. You know, and your perception is what we give you, and that's it. Anything else, then you're a bit weird. You know, we need to you know, block this off, and you need to be medicated if you're thinking this or that. And so, you know, it puts people in a box, doesn't it?
Yeah, all of these things are deliberate, as I say. People have only got to think. I mean, we can talk more about it perhaps next time. You know. Look at anyone who's studied into phenomena like telepathy, clairvoyance, remote viewing, telekinesis, all of these things. Lots of evidence that these are real things, particularly telepathy. I'm sure everyone's experienced that at some stage. So, you know, and those are just little bits showing that our general perception can be expanded very easily into those things. And of course, you're quite right, it can go much further than that as we become more connected to our greater selves, our greater awareness. And you're quite right, as we've said throughout this, you know, we are deliberately prevented from doing that because we're told, as you say, we're ridiculed if we talk about those things. And certainly in the mainstream media, they will not address those things, only in a derogatory way. So we need to do it for ourselves and realize that our potential is far greater than we believe. Even within this particular state of consciousness, we still have a lot more things that we can do. So we want to stop limiting ourselves. For the most part, we limit ourselves with our limiting beliefs based on what we're told about ourselves and the world by others. So we've got to change all that and become what we can truly be. So yeah, we're happy to, we can expand on that a little more next time we chat.
Yeah, also looking at technology and AI, you know, and all of this, you know, how this is not the way, because it's taking over for our true natural God-given perception, you know, and where we're meant to be. So it's like the technology doing the thinking for people. When we need to reclaim this and go back, we're going in the wrong direction. We're looking at transhumanism, because that's what it is, you know, where we forget who we are, and this technology starts doing all the day-to-day thinking for us and everything, you know. So that's another part of this. But I think if, yeah, we can kind of get those discussions rolling on perception and, you know, identity and who we really are and that importance, I think it's a really good thing because, you know, I do look here especially and I look at what happened with the COVID psychological operation and the lockdowns in particular. It really hammered people. People lost their businesses and families, the suicides and everything. It really, it really took people down to a dark place, locking them down, making them wear masks and all this stuff. It was a very dark period in human history. And I think that it's what we need to do now is start to look at why this happened, you know, what it was. And we need to start, you know, having a very clear view of this, because it happened, you know, there's no denying it. And it affected a lot of people's lives in some very dark ways. And I think a lot of people are still trying to find their way out of this, you know. And I think definitely there is a way out. It's happening for a reason. And I think that we have to get people to sort of have a look at what could be coming here and where we should be going, and that there's a much more positive and unlimited view here. And so I think that's where it starts. And as you said, I think that it's really incredible times to be alive. I think it's absolutely phenomenal that you and I are here sitting here having this conversation and putting this out there. I think it's really cool. I've had a tough time growing up and schooling and everything that didn't work for me. And I've had plenty of instances in my life where I just didn't know which way to go. I lost total direction and everything. And it's really amazing to be here on this journey and meeting folks like yourself and having these types of conversations. And I think it needs to happen, and I think that we just need to get that spark happening in people where they're not scared to have these types of conversations. It's really important nowadays, I think. And I think there's, with the whole censorship thing, there's this whole fear going on that you just can't, you know, you can't speak openly and freely, you know. Yeah. And the media are trying to do this now. They're trying to make all of us look crazy, and that we're some kind of domestic terrorist, or we're doing something wrong, you know. And it's never going to work. And every time that they do this, and as you said, the system, as we said, is kind of a malfunction happening now. It's so outlandish and ridiculous and outrageous that even average Joe Blows are just saying, this is it. This is silly. You know, they're becoming desperate to try to keep us under control, and it's not working anymore, because it's the same old, and people want better answers, and the media and all this government, they're not giving it. So people want more now. They're hungry, and they're hungry for learning and gathering up more information, which is why we're really here. So I think that it is really an important bunch of podcasts we're doing to bring in the nature reality with everything else that we do. Because I think, and I'm starting to see, without sort of what you're talking about here on our last couple of podcasts, without sort of first looking at the nature of reality, I don't feel like we can really get the whole picture. And I feel like we're going to be a little bit lost there. And I think it's important to take a breath and stop and rewind and go back and have a look at what you're saying here, and with your book there on the nature of reality and what we've been discussing. I think it's we have to sort of come back to that and sort of look at that and find the answers and start looking at everything around, instead of just being catapulted forward with this game of fear. And sucked into this. And we look at the last couple of years or few years, it really has been absolutely incredible. And I think it's important to get everybody to stop, settle down, take a breath, and let's go back and kind of have a look at our roots a little bit more, and let's design our future a bit more. And let's work out where we want to go and where we are and what we want to be and everything, and what's happening around us. Let's look at the world around us a little bit more, instead of just rushing through our lives and being bloody scared of everything all the time. I feel like people are doing that, you know. It's just rush, 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 minute to minute, move, 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 you know. And it's that whole theme, David, of people not stopping to breathe in the air, to look at the sunshine, to go down to the beach, to look at the crashing waves, to look at the seabirds, to sit down, to take time to read a book, or to have some personal thoughts, or do some meditation. And I look at our children now, and I feel like their attention span is really suffering here because they're being exposed to this so much and all these cartoons and content and everything. I look at the school system; it's teaching them too fast, and they're rushing through their lives, and they're like 7 years old. And it's like slow down. We need to take a breath here, you know, us human beings, because if we don't take a breath and we don't do that meditation and we don't stop and take a breather and we just keep rushing forward in our lives, we're just not gonna I don't think we're ever gonna get it. And sometimes you feel like you're out of breath because of everything that's going on in the day, and it's hard to find that time to say, you know what, I need to just slow down here and stop, because there's so much technology and so much going on. And I feel like a lot of people say to me, you know, and I feel it as well, they say, do you feel like time is speeding up? And I used to feel like that. And now I think, you know, maybe it's not. I feel like maybe because there's so much technology now and we rely on it so much in our day-to-day lives. And that's why we feel like things are speeding up. And I think if you take that time to get away from that and just push it aside and take that personal space, you'll feel that you'll maybe be able to reconnect a little bit more and feel like it's infinite, you know, there's no time. Because you say to people, David, you know, I say, give me an example of time without using numbers. And, you know, people go, they make up all this stuff, you know. And I say, you know, look at a glacier that's thousands of years old. Look at a tree that's 500 years old. Does it have time? You know, look at our limited perspective on life and how fast we rush through our years. And we really forget who we are and where we've come from, where we're going, what we're doing. You know, it's just a blur. Rush, 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 rush. You know, and, you know, at this point in my life, I look at it. Yeah, it's such a strange thing. And I just think, you know, I myself have wasted a lot of time rushing. And you rush with your own self, and not just that, your kids and everything. You miss them growing up. You miss spots in their life, important things, because people are working and rushing, and you have to keep food on the table and pay the bills and everything. And you know, I understand things are getting tougher, and it is a hard thing. And people, the important thing I think here to keep in note is that people have good heart and they have good intentions and they want to do the best thing for themselves and most importantly, their kids and their family and those that they love around them. And they want to be better people. And I think that we just have to try and get this in perspective and slow down a little bit and sort of work out a better way forward. Because a lot of people are doing it tough and they've suffered a lot in the last few years. And not only that, you know, they're looking at everything now and they're seeing, as you said, and we talked about earlier with these entities, they just lied and they scammed people and they tricked people and double crossed them and they stabbed them in the back. And people are just thinking they're so upset about this, you know, what they were made to do, and they feel humiliated and they want answers, and they're bitter and they're angry about it. And this, of course, is going to be part of the building wave of what we're going to see. I mean, there cannot not be consequences to what happened during the last few years, locking people down, destroying people's lives, businesses, jabbing people, all this stuff, the propaganda, what the media did. Yes, these people need to pay for what they've done, and they need, in my opinion, they need to go to jail. And let's hope that that day comes for them, because we're dealing with a very rotten system here that I think is on the verge of absolute collapse. It's malfunctioning. Everywhere you look, it's just falling to pieces. And I think that this is our time in history to take back our lives and start to make things better. I think there are clearer and better waters on the other side here, but as always, at first, we've got to go through that storm. And I think the storm, to me, represents all of us looking at ourselves in the mirror and taking that deeper look and saying, you know, and asking yourself those deeper questions. I think it all starts with all of us at an individual level. And once we start doing this in enough numbers, I think that's going to create that positive vibrational sort of energetic force to move forward. And I think that the picture around us then, when that starts happening, will start to become a lot clearer and brighter. That's just the way that I see it anyway. And, you know, I didn't think about it like that many, many years ago, but now I'm starting to think that, I guess it's that old saying, David, that you can be your own worst enemy sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's actually you doing it to yourself, you know, and you sort of think, oh, boy, what a wake-up call. And as you said, I think the whole COVID thing is actually going to force large sections of humanity to really wake up here. I think it's the key to what we've always really needed. And it had to come at some point in human history, and I think it's here. And in saying that, I will say that I think it's a positive thing, even though a lot of people would say, shut up, Adam. You know, I think it's, you know, they might think it's terrible what happened, but I think looking at it, you know, and, you know, we've all been through some dark times, especially here in Australia. I would look at it and say, you know what? I think it means that there's a turnaround coming. I think the tides are changing. I think the, something better is coming. And I think we have to focus on that. I really do. So that's sort of something that we could move forward with as well in our conversations, David.
Yep. Okay. So positive and exciting times. And I do, like yourself, believe that the whole COVID thing has been the turning point for the whole world, because it affected really the whole world, hasn't it? And as I often say to people, no one's died from COVID. You can't die from a disease that doesn't exist. You know, no one's died from that. Yeah, there may have been poisoned by the pharmaceutical companies and the medical system, but you know, that's unfortunately what happens when people are ignorant of the truth, you know. But now people are, even the people who have had several jabs are waking up and saying, you know, well, no more, you know, yeah, I've did the wrong thing, what can I do now to clean it out of my body? And I'm certainly not having any more. And we're seeing that happening even in America. You know, the latest booster jab that we're supposed to have, only about 15% of the population actually went for it. I mean, that's tiny. So yeah. Anyway, we can talk about these things another time if you wish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating times, isn't it? And you're right, yes. There, it's happening in Australia too. Yeah, a lot of people have said no. They're not interested anymore. They don't want them. And there's always going to be a section who do, and that's fine. But from what I can see, in the US and the UK, people have had enough, and they're not buying it anymore. So the game's kind of over as they try to reinvent it, and it doesn't seem to be working. So very fascinating times as we move forward here indeed, and there's always so much to break down and discuss. As we log out tonight, would you like to mention, David, how people can contact you, how they can support your great website? Sure. Because you know, your website, it's bigger than people would think. There's a lot on there and a lot of interviews and a lot to delve into, for sure. And I speak to Dawn each month, a wonderful researcher, just like yourself. Dawn's a wonderful researcher, and it's so great to be chatting with her as well. And our listeners love her great work and yours. As you move forward, I was checking with Dawn on the last one about your speaking engagements that you've been doing. Seems to be you've done some great ones last year, probably some more building, but not just yet. So what's on the horizon for you guys also this year with your great speaking tours that you've been doing? That's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. Yes, it's as the weather improves here in
in Scotland.
That's when we tend to hit the road, as it were.
It gets a little bit more sunny.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't get stuck in snowdrifts or something like that.
Of course,
which has happened to us before.
Australians are going, what?
Exactly.
Snowdrift?
So yeah, we've got various. The interviews are starting to build up again, and speaking tours we've got down in the south of England. There's one coming up in Dorchester, and we've been asked about more in Scotland again. But again, we like to wait till the weather's a bit better before we go even further north. Otherwise, we get marooned. So yeah, pretty busy. But if people go to our main website is still whatreallymakesyouill.com, because there is a section on there which tells people about what talks we've got coming up. And you're quite right, if they go to the video section, they can look at all various interviews we've done around the world. They're all there, and you can get to our Odyssey channel and BitChute channel from there too. There are articles that we put up on there, so lots of information on the whatreallymakesyouill.com. The Nature of Reality, we have another website, an older website, which we're going to revamp a bit over the coming weeks, called thenatureofreality.com. So nice and easy information on there. If people want to support us, as well as buying our books, which they can get from most good online bookstores, they can, on the What Really Makes You Ill website, they can sign up for our members area, and there's all sorts of recordings and things on there that they'll have access to. And it also supports us. It's not very much, a few dollars a month, but that's a way of supporting us, as well as buying our books, because as you say, Adam, all of this stuff costs money. We try to do as much as we can for free, but we have to pay the bills, and we have to pay for web space and all the rest of it. So it does cost money. So any way that people can help us, that's much appreciated. So that's it, really. Go to our websites, have a look, and there's lots of free information on both of them.
That's right, and I'll put up all the links in the podcast description, and folks can find the podcast out there on the RSS feed, and goes out there, and let us know what you think, and we do need support. We're not big media here. We're just little guys on the ground, and we're just moving forward and doing our research, and support really does help us continue here. Absolutely does. And you know, as David said, having the website and doing the books and everything, it's time and everything. So support really is critical at these times. So I'll put up all the relevant links there to find Dawn and David's work and everything. And really great chatting tonight, David. I think we've covered some really great ground here, and you've put up some really incredible research, I think, tonight for our listeners to digest and mull over and stew over and contemplate and think about. And hopefully people enjoy these types of podcasts, and I think it's really unique, especially being here in Sydney and you in the UK. It's really cool that we're able to connect and continue our discussions. It's really awesome. So we'll work out a time for our next one, and it will be great to continue looking at unlocking the doors of perception, David. Really, aren't we?
Yeah.
Getting people to have a more grand and bigger view around them, and unlock that human potential a lot more, and look outside the box, and in a loving and more natural way. It's really interesting to be doing this. So thanks so much for your time tonight, and all your great research and everything that you guys do. It's phenomenal. And as I said, I'll put all your links up, and you guys have a Telegram channel and all of that. And I know a lot of your work gets shared on ours. We've got a small Telegram channel. It's really cool. And so I'll put all that up. So really great work, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of the day there. And as always, thank you so much for your time and effort and everything that you do, and Dawn, and your incredible research. And we look forward to many more podcasts, and as we move forward, into 2023. Incredible times.
Okay. Well, thank you, Adam, for your time, and I'm sure we'll speak again in the not too distant future. Okay.
All right, buddy.